Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Just a friendly reminder to everyone that this podcast is not our primary job. You know, we don't do this as a career. We're just moonlighting. We're just moonlighting. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Also with us in the booth today is classroom aide extraordinaire and super producer Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. And hey, look on the bright side. Kids is spelled with a Z. Today we're here to talk about episode 63 of Hey Arnold. And for those of you keeping track at home, that is season 4, episode 3, going by production code order. And we're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called Full Moon. Original air date, March 10th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold is just an innocent bystander when Harold, Sid, and Stinky accidentally frame him for mooning Principal Wurtz. And as a special Wikipedia-sanctioned episode note, we talked about this last week as well, but this is the first episode to use digital ink and paint for its animation style. Funnily enough, it said citation needed after that note on the Wikipedia page, which is kind of strange. So, hey, you know, whether or not you choose to accept the mystery, we will still be here talking about this episode. And speaking of the episode and the fine folks who brought us it, Frank Weiss directed this episode and Steve Vixton got the writing credit. So shout outs to them. Harry, let's send it over to you first. What did you think about this particular full moon?
Hey, thanks, Cody. Oh, weird way to phrase that. I really liked this episode quite a bit, actually, and I was so nervous about it because I was so worried that my boy Arnold was going to sort of interpret doing the right thing as turning in his friends. You know what I mean? I feel like without sort of like giving away, well, I mean, we've talked about a little bit how Arnold's goody two-shoes-ness has been a sticking point for us in the past, but I feel like an earlier iteration of Arnold might have really struggled with turning in his friends for doing this thing, and that would have been the sort of crux of the episode. So it was extremely refreshing to me and maybe honestly a little bit subversive for a children's show that this episode does not turn on any sort of moral conundrum that Arnold himself has. Arnold himself is completely steadfast in the idea that he's not a rat and he's not going to rat on his friends, which is the right thing to do. Let's go, Arnold. He's great in this episode. But instead, it operates on this sort of like, can the side characters deal with the fact that they're subjecting Arnold to this? And in the process, it tells a really good story about how, like, if you stick to your guns, if you always stick to what is right to your way of thinking, to your own moral compass, you're going to end up influencing the people around you for the better, right? There's a really good, and I think that that's a really interesting, good way to portray Arnold himself as somebody who is sort of like, not necessarily the way he often has been in the past, sort of like imposing his own moral will on other characters, but someone who is just so steadfast and exemplary in his own moral direction that he winds up influencing the other characters. Because, I mean, like, as Sid said, subconsciously, they let the guilt get to them, which that was a really funny moment in this. But you get the feeling that they would not have felt as guilty as they did if they had not been so influenced by the steadfastness of Arnold, right? And so there's a really cool statement at the core of this episode about how if you're just true to yourself, that is not only the right thing to be, but it's also going to influence people around you, even in ways that you don't really expect, right? Like, I don't think Arnold, he truly didn't expect that this wouldn't go on his permanent record, right? Like, he wasn't guilting them by his own sort of, like, will. He was just sticking to his guns, and that ended up being enough, right? And I really think that, like, for an episode like this that is about what happens when school kids commit infractions, I guess, and maybe I'm not giving enough credit to Hey Arnold at this point, or just maybe children's programming in general, but I really was afraid that this was going to be about how sometimes you have to snitch on your friends, right? And I'm super glad that this ended up in a totally different place where it was like, unequivocally, Arnold was right not to do this. And in fact, not doing this was the right thing to do. And it made his friends better. And Principal Wartz was a jerk for trying to get him to rat out his friends in the first place, right? And so I really think that, like, this was an episode that I kind of came in, like, a little bit worried about. And it really threaded the needle in, like, some really profound ways that made it a really good episode, right? Like, I can imagine kids watching this and thinking about snitching versus not snitching for, like, maybe the first time. And, like, coming to some new conclusions about it based on how they saw Arnold doing it, which means that also, like, this episode sort of, like, it will affect the real people watching it in the same way it wound up affecting the kids within the episode. So it's, like, really involved on a ground level with what kids are thinking about and what's important to them. And I really like that about it, I guess. But I'm really excited to see what you both thought, especially vis-a-vis, like, what do we think about the politics of snitching, I guess, in this episode?
Yikes. Yeah. Hey, I don't know how qualified we are to answer that, but I think we can take a hearty crack at it without getting too cheeky. I'm going to sneak as many of those in as I can. Emily, what did you think about this episode?
Yeah, lucky for all of us, I've got a PhD in snitching. So let's really dig into this one. Yeah, no, I feel sort of neutral about this episode, I guess. I kind of like some stuff about it. I think there's a few funny moments in it, but I think I struggle with just the pacing because a lot of it is just Arnold in 4 weeks worth of detention, just kind of slowly drags that out a bit. But, to Harry's points about the lessons and stuff, I think it hits on some really good points and themes kind of quickly and just, or not even quickly, but you know, throughout the whole thing as it's kind of moseying along while he's stuck in detention. But we obviously deal with snitching or being a rat, as they mention it in the show. A lot of intimidation tactics by Principal Wartz and the guys who did the mooning in the first place, Stinky, Harold, and Sid. We deal with some paranoia, especially on Harold's end, and he's tossing and turning with the guilt and bed while his cap is still on. He's tossing and turning on his pillow. He's also like just paranoid and goes right up to Arnold because he thinks Arnold did snitch and he's just sure that Arnold's going to crack. And deals with a lot of guilt. And then the guts, what the guys think of as guts or bravery on Arnold's part for not snitching. So it kind of touches on each of those themes, which I think are good. Especially within this like context of a friends group. And things I think are funny about it, I really like that at the beginning, when the mooners moon Principal Wartz, they have animal masks like covering their noses, which is the only thing that keeps them disguised basically. And it, in this cartoon realm, it works on Wartz. He has no idea who did it. He like puts his glasses on, doesn't even realize at first he's being mooned. So you see him like, his vision clears and he's like, oh wow. Like the realization, on screen is pretty funny. And he has a forensic artist sketch a photo of what these moons looked like. And he's walking around, PS118 and outside of the school with just a stack of these forensic sketches, in black and white, which I think is really funny too. And I also liked Harold's very dramatic performances in this one, especially at the end. He bursts into Wartz's office and is like on his knees, just sobbing and earlier, and the other guys follow suit, but then earlier too, when they're first deciding to not come clean about the fact that they are the Mooners and it wasn't Arnold had nothing to do with it, Harold also is just like, no, no, no. And he kind of throws a temper tantrum on the sidewalk with the kids. So I think he has some really good performances. Shout out to his voice actor. Feel bad I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he does great. And I think this one especially calls back to season 3 episode, Arnold Betrays Iggy, which was an infamous episode for us in season 3. And also, oddly enough, I think that the B side of this one, Student Teacher, calls back to Helga and the Nanny, which was the B side of Arnold Betrays Iggy in season 3. So I think these, both of these together are a nice parallel to those ones, with Arnold Betrays Iggy especially being more about snitching and betrayal, or just the sense of betrayal that Iggy experiences, even though Arnold didn't snitch or anything on him wearing bunny pajamas. But it's just dealing with those same feelings, and especially with between friends here at school. So yeah, I also really like that they use the verb mooning and as the noun Mooners a lot. I think that's pretty funny. So overall, I feel like this is a pretty decent episode. It's just not one that like I'm absolutely blown away by or anything, or a favorite of mine, but a pretty good one, and nice callback to some stickier episodes from last season.
Yeah, absolutely. And first, shout outs to the Mooners, and the use of the term, or root term, mooning Mooners, in this episode. Principal Wartz's reading of, or I guess his voice actor, just tell me who the real Mooners are, got quite a big laugh from me. The biggest I've had on the show for a little bit. And the show, a show that is pretty humorous. And ultimately, I think I fell on the side of, I like this episode. I sympathize with the points brought up. Both of you brought up really great points. And I don't know how much of the energy in this episode did feel a little jagged sometimes. I don't know how much that had to do with like the animation style or what it was, or maybe we were reading too far into it, expecting something dynamically different. I'm not really sure. But this episode, like pacing wise felt a little off, but ultimately I think the framing that I ultimately landed upon and kind of allowed me to really enjoy this episode is, through the, I guess, latching onto something of a season 4 motif at this point, this idea of like fessing up in like morally feasible or like acceptable ways. So like Arnold not fessing up, but then, you know, Harold, Stinky, and Sid eventually fessing up by the end. Helga and them coming clean, Helga not really wanting to in Dinner for Four, but like, or you know, that them eventually landing upon that, maybe we'll see more of that, maybe not, but kind of that is the umbrella, you know, destination for us to get to. Seeing Arnold as it's been talked about, exude the most like Chad version of his staunch values, and being maybe the most like true to like himself and his initial framing that we've seen on the show for a while. And like everybody else being a specific caricature, right? Like Principal Wartz is leaning into the cop prototype or whatever you want to call it. Like he is literally a cop in this episode. I mean, principals are also like semi-literally cops in real life, but Principal
Wartz. That's right, Cody.
Yeah, yeah. Principal Wartz in particular here, Harold and Stinky and Sid being like sort of against type and getting like irrationally angry at Arnold for not wanting to pull his pants down at school is sort of a weird energy. Honestly, even the idea of a permanent record at the fourth grade level, which again, calling back to the thing that we and I preach about all the time, but just like things looking different from a child's perspective also feeding into this, and just like you hear the phrase permanent record when you're 8-9 years old, like that carries such a big weight. And like even that is like that construct is an extreme caricature in this episode, whereas like Arnold's kind of the straight man, and it's just
so,
like
it's so yeah, true though, right? Like I remember being in elementary school and like being anxious about my permanent record. You're so right. It's like for whatever reason that was like a real like mythological element of the elementary school experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, having this episode as, I think, a pretty natural exploration of, you know, what makes Arnold Arnold, and like not being, not being called to rat out, like you said, Harry, like maybe a season one or two episode would have Arnold rat out his friends, but the fact that he doesn't even have that dilemma for a second is extremely refreshing. And having Harold almost get Arnold to the point of breaking just by being an annoying piece of you know what, I half expected Arnold to just be like, you know what, Harold, I'm gonna go rat you all out right now because you were getting on my nerves. That would have been kind of funny, but I don't know, I'm glad it didn't go that route. And so this episode landed pretty positively for me just because of that specific framing of, you know, we're in a wild, zany world, and Arnold is like more than usual, like the only sane normal person in it seems.
I really, really like the way that you frame this as like a very quintessentially season four episode, right? Because it really does feel like the way that I would characterize certainly season four so far, and I think a little bit the series for the rest of its run, not to sort of like part the kimono too much, so to speak. But it's a show that becomes increasingly self-aware, right? And increasingly plays with its own sort of like established elements. And I feel like this was such a clear episode examination of exactly that, right? Where it was like, okay, where can we put this character Arnold where his sort of like unique moral insights are going to come off as well as possible? And it really is that sort of like Arnold will never snitch. He will never be a rat episode, right? And I think that like that is such an interesting and natural way into examining all of these characters, right? Like we get to see the fact that Stinky, Harold, and Sid are really the goon squad of the school, right? And it like it makes a lot of sense that they're cast in this part. And we get to have so much fun with Principal Wartz as like the most unctuous cop in this, right? There's that incredible scene where he like talks about how when he was in Arnold's position, he did snitch, and that's why he grew up to be a principal, and he still has the gold star that he received for snitching on his friends, and it's like framed on his desk, and you can like see in Arnold's mind like the path in it in his head. It's like, okay, so if I do this, I become Principal Wartz, and that's why I absolutely can't do this. And like that is such a funny component of this show, and I really do legitimately love this idea that I think it's a very quintessentially Hey Arnold thing that like we sort of go into exaggerations because we've already done the groundwork of establishing these characters and the stakes, and we can sort of like do away almost with the preamble, right? It's like we know who Harold and Stinky and Sid are. They are the goon squad. We know who Principal Wartz is. He's the sort of quintessential almost like devil character, the tempter in this story. And so we can really like dispense with the preamble and do this very exaggerated sort of like, we're going to tempt Arnold in order to demonstrate how important it is about Arnold's character that he will never break, that he will never be tempted. And I really like that about this episode. But on the other hand, and I think that this is maybe something that we will run into over and over again as we examine seasons 4 and 5, to Emily's point, like I think that there's something about the deconstructionism of these later seasons that maybe makes them feel a little bit less than the sum of their parts, right? Like in a lot of ways, this feels a bit like a safe bet for Hey Arnold to me, right? It's just sort of like we know who Arnold is. We know he's not going to snitch. This is all sort of like the quintessential like playing out of these characters' roles within the story and moral structure of this world. And maybe that's why the pacing kind of feels like, you know, it happens, the whole thing where like Wartz tries to get Arnold to break. He doesn't break. Harold asks Arnold if he's broken, and Arnold sort of in an annoyed way says like, no, I haven't broken. That happens like 4 or 5 times in this. And maybe it's just the fact that we know already what the stakes are going to be to the extent that it doesn't really feel like there's escalating tension here. But so I guess I'm just trying to say that I'm sympathetic to Emily's points for sure. But I think that ultimately this is still such a clutch adaptation of the sort of classic Hey Arnold mold. I guess, that it makes a lot of sense to me within this context. But I'm interested to hear what you've got to say about it, Emily.
Yeah, I just wanted to call out the differences of the digital ink and painting style versus what we've been watching in the entire series up till now, which was cell animation, like traditional hand-drawn style of animation. So basically in this episode, especially, you can tell right away. So the characters are a lot smoother. There's a lot more like perfect shapes, whereas in obviously like cell animation, when it's hand-drawn, you have more of the hand-drawn style and less perfect lines and round, less round stuff. And yeah. And then there's also like more flat colors too across the characters. They kind of have their more, they're a little bit more flat, and but the backgrounds behind them have the watercolor texture still going on. So those kind of, I think, keep that older style, like as it turned over. But it's just mostly the characters who are moving around that you notice, especially this difference, I think. And I really wanted to note, too, that I like how Sunset Arms looks in this style. I think it looks really, really nice. It's bright red. It's, I don't know, it's a little more bolder looking, I think, or something. I'm not sure how to describe it, but it just cuts to the outside of the boarding house for a second, and it looks cool to me, at least. This is all subjective, too, I guess, but I've also noticed, and again, maybe it's subjective, but the color teal seems a lot more prominent in this style now, which is kind of Arnold's sweater and shirt color. And that changes too, I guess, depending, because his hat is a little more light blue usually. But a lot of times he's got that kind of teal colored shirt over the kilt, quote unquote, the orange button up underneath flannel. But I just wanted to make a note of that since Cody pointed it out at the top, how this episode looks different and it's going to carry now for the rest of the series in this digital style.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that framing a lot. And, you know, not to be me about it, but, you know, maybe tough to draw like big grand scale conclusions based on just one data point of the season. But yeah, I'm looking forward to see if there are any sort of like trends we pick up on, or like will the thread of like, hey, you know what, this episode felt kind of like manic, or the energy felt weird. Just like, I don't know, that might be something worth latching onto, and see if there's anything that we can trace back to kind of the artistic differences as we get into the latter half of the show, which, yikes. But I guess, you know, leaving that aside for now, you know, as we prepare to pivot to the latter half of this episode, I will open up the floor once more. Any lingering thoughts or shout outs y'all have about the honeymooners? I'm trying to think of other fun moon things to say, but honeymooners was maybe not the one. Emily, take the microphone from me.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to shout out Harold's voice actor. Since I looked him up, I didn't know his name off the top of my head. His name is Justin Schenkerow, and he was in 71 plus episodes as Harold in the show and in the movies. So he was Harold forever and ever, through and through. Harold remains. So yeah, shout out to Harold, shout out to him. He's a great voice actor for that character.
Harold remains. I love that, Emily. We already mentioned it, but I find the fact that Principal Wartz got a forensic artist to draw the butts of the students who mooned him to be so funny. I just think that is such a really clever concept for this episode, and I laughed really hard at it. Especially the fact that like Harold has a moon on it, or a mole on his butt, on his moon, so to speak. And also the sort of like Spider-Man moment when Wartz has to put on his eyeglasses and they show the moon, so to speak, coming into focus for the first time. Just an incredibly funny visual joke to have in this episode. So I don't know, obviously, if that's the sort of thing that digital artistry paves the way for and makes possible. But like, just the fact that they thought to do that is so funny to me. I thought that was such a funny joke. And I think maybe similar to Cody, I just like, certain Hey Arnold episodes, right? Like not all of them, but maybe one in six or something, have that sort of like very madcap exaggerated energy. And it's always so welcome when it happens. And I think that this is certainly one of those episodes. So yeah, I really liked that about it. Though I did feel like the whole digital animation, it was a stark difference for me, but I wonder if that's just because we've been watching every single episode. You know what I mean? Like in a row. I wonder if you would notice it to the extent that we noticed it, if you hadn't been sort of like concurrent with the entire series up to this point. But yeah, I shout outs to Principal Wartz just being like unbelievably tempting in this. I think that Jason, you noted this once, but like at one point he tries to bribe Arnold to tell him who the Mooners are with literally just chocolate, and he's just like, chocolate cream, and he pulls open this box that just has like literal chocolates in it. And I really thought that a lot of the tone that the humor struck in this episode was really, really good, and I'm looking forward to more of that.
As am I, and before we bow out, I just want to clarify for listeners, and Harry, correct me if I'm wrong, the Spider-Man moment being referenced is in the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, when he puts on his glasses after getting bit by a radioactive spider, conking out for a little while, waking up, putting his glasses on, finding out he doesn't need his glasses, and the camera refocuses. I was buckled up for like an iconic Spider-Man moment that everybody remembers. But I mean, of course I remember, because that's how my brain works, and I've seen that movie.
Wait a minute, Cody, you have perfect vision, don't you?
No, I have contact lenses and I wear glasses.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because I was going to say, for me, that needed no introduction, because when I was like 10 years old and I saw that for the first time, I was like, Sam Raimi gets it.
Yeah. Wait, Emily Sui, you have perfect genetics. You have no corrective lenses of any kind.
I've got a perfect 21/21, baby.
Oh my God.
It's better. She has better than perfect vision, dude.
Yeah. That's honestly, God, what I used to say to my friends in middle school, because I didn't know it was 20/20. And I just assumed it was one up from the TV show.
Yeah. Oh my. See, that's why she's the person who always has the really great insights on the animation and like the quality of the like actual drawings, is because she can see them so much better than we can because of her better than perfect 21/21 vision.
That does make a lot of sense in retrospect. But I'm going to go ahead and move us along here just so that we don't fall behind. More butt jokes. Thank you for listening. Please do stick around. Do not touch that dial, because we've got another half of this episode to dig into after the break. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Episode 63B is up next, and that episode is called Student Teacher. Original air date, March 10th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Helga's sister Olga comes home for spring break and becomes a classroom aide in Helga's classroom, much to Helga's chagrin. And once again, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss back in the director's chair, Steve Vixton back in the writer's futon, joined by Michelle Lamoureux, co-writer for the episode. Some more shout outs to go around. Emily, let's start with you this time. What did you think about Student Teacher?
Yes, thank you for asking, Cody. I think this is a really, really good episode. I like it very much. And I did mention earlier that this is kind of like the Helga and the Nanny B-side to Arnold Betrays Iggy from the last season. And I stand by that. I think this one deals a lot with Helga's talent at sabotaging people, or lack thereof, her sabotaging schemes backfiring on her a bunch. Also dealing with a character similar to the nanny in her sister Olga, who's like really annoys her and overreaches, but also means well, but like Helga just cannot stand and can't be stopped, I guess, when it comes to scheming. So, yeah, I also wanted to point out, too, I noted a lot of sound effects in this episode in particular. I thought there's really, really good sound effects throughout this one. And I think I just noticed it at first because There's the squeaky toy sound effect noise that happens when Olga presses Olga's nose in the classroom. And then later, I guess Olga has a thing with noses. She like shakes Stinky's nose and pokes his nose, and there's a lot of really good sound effects there. Many other sound effects I can mention later, but or not. But basically, the episode itself is great around these two sisters and their relationship, which is not a great sibling relationship. They really struggle to get along. Olga tries really hard with Helga, and Helga just can't stand her. They're both, I think, justified in the ways they see each other, in the ways they are. But one thing that this episode especially points to is just boundaries. And boundaries are mentioned quite a few times. Helga tries to get it across to Olga that, like, hey, like, since you're going to be hanging around, we're going to spend a lot of time together, I want to set up a few, healthy boundaries. And there's literally a sound effect right there that's like a broken guitar string twang that kind of is like, bah? And Olga says, boundaries? Like, she does not understand the concepts. And I think that in such a quick way really drives home the point of their issues here, especially in this episode. And Helga's like, yeah, don't boss me around so much. Don't meddle in my personal affairs, you know, keep out of my schemes. Also, please steer clear of any embarrassing family stories, which would make people uncomfortable. And I'm worried about my reputation at school and all of this. And Olga is just sitting there brushing her hair, smiling with her eyes closed, like Marsha Brady, just like not even listening. But then she responds later and goes, your concerns are my concerns. And it's like, wait, no, oh God, Olga, that wasn't the point. Your concerns are my concerns. This is what Helga's trying to tell you about boundaries. And yeah, so she would go on, of course, to not get the point and then do all sorts of boundary breaks between them while she's the student teacher in Helga's class. She goes on about the bedwetting story of Helga being a bedwetter, which is absolutely humiliating, and all the kids figure out it's Helga, obviously, and she gets made fun of a bunch at school for that. Olga invites Arnold over to the Pataki household to tutor him, and he sits in, like, their living room, and Helga's just, like, in knots on the stairs watching this happen, and she's going to herself saying, like, she doesn't want to be closer to me, she wants to destroy me. Which I think is totally, like, fair, a valid point, or a valid perspective that Helga has. Although I don't think that's Olga's intentions or anything. I think the two just, like, are passing ships that do not understand each other at all, unfortunately. But, yeah, what else? I really love the colors in Olga's room. I like the background so much in that one. That one, again, was making me appreciate, I guess, the digital style that's going on in these new episodes. There's like glowing lime greens and pinks and purples and blues and just like nice golden yellow lighting across her room, and it's like a fairy princess room for someone who's in their 20s or something, or a Marsha Brady character, I guess, I don't know. Also, God, I know it's maybe sad too, but it's also so funny every time Olga cries and you get the wavy waterworks going with like the big dramatic whoop 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 lines across, and then tears are like flying off of her face like comic book style. I just really love that. And then I'll wrap it up here. I'm just going on and on. I really like this episode. But yeah, the dramatic string music at the very end when Olga actually does finally listen to Helga, accepts that they need space, or that that's what Helga really wants, and that's how that they can have a better relationship, if she listens to her and gives her the space she needs, goes off to Alaska, and they've got all this fog floating around them and like the dark sky, and it's all real ominous and everything, and it sort of feels like the series is writing off Olga, like kind of killing her off of the show. But yet, she will return for quite a few more episodes and movie. So she doesn't get killed off, but this episode does kind of feel like that's the conclusion. It's like, all right, she's just in Alaska. We don't have to worry about this big sister anymore. And at least she did listen to her at the end there in their dramatic goodbye.
Dang. Extremely well characterized. I'm still reeling from you describing Emily, Olga, and Helga as two passing ships, which is extremely, incredibly accurate. And I would love to comment on the sister dynamic a little bit more. But first, I will pivot to Harry. Harry, what did you think about this episode of the show called Hey Arnold?
Thank you. First of all, yeah, I would echo Cody's sentiments. I'm super glad you went first, Emily. You really nailed that. I think that, like, this episode is so interesting because a lot like the one that we did, the first sort of introductory episode about the relationship between Helga and Olga, I think that this is in a lot of ways the most complicated and fraught and in many ways brave relationship that the show depicts overall because of how messy it is, right? Like, I think that this episode ends on a weird sort of bummer note, right? Where it's like Helga needs to respond to the fundamental inequality between she and Olga by doing this thing that is kind of harmful to Olga, right? At least from Olga's perspective. But like the show shows us that, Helga is not wrong to do this thing, right? Because of, again, the fundamental inequality between she and Olga, the fact that her parents legitimately like pay more attention to Olga than they do to Helga, and that has irrevocably altered Olga's personality and especially the way that she reacts to Helga, right? This is just such a... And everything having to do with Olga and Helga is such a realistic and brave depiction of inequalities within a family unit that I'm really impressed by, right? Like, I think that, like, it totally makes sense that Olga is the way she is because of the way she's always been treated by her parents, and especially the way she's always been treated by her parents in contrast to the way Helga's been treated. And so we get this place, or we end up with this relationship where it's like, we can see why Olga acts the way she does, and we can even maybe see, arguably, that it's not her fault that she acts the way she does, but we can also see that the fact that Helga can't stand her and the fact that she is so resentful of Olga is totally justified by her unique perspective, right? And the fact that we get Helga's perspective and not Olga's is super important, right? Because instead of portraying Helga as sort of like the unambiguous villain, as she is sometimes portrayed as the bully character in the show, instead we are able to like see this from her sympathetic point of view, and we're able to see that, like, okay, yeah, like the way Olga is acting right now is damaging to Helga, and Helga's even been upfront about the fact that she wants Olga to change those ways, but Olga just can't because of who she is as a person. And so where we ultimately end up with these two is that they have to have this necessary distance between them, right? They can't have the sort of like idyllic, classical sibling relationship that Olga wants, because that is just not the way that the reality on the ground of their familial situation operates. And I mean, just it's an incredibly profound and nuanced relationship to depict in a children's show, right? Especially to sort of like forego any sort of blame in terms of like, I think a lesser show would have made Olga an unambiguous villain. And despite the bedwetting being sort of an exaggeration, she's not, right? I really think that like we watch these episodes and we come away understanding where Olga's coming from, understanding that she is under all of this pressure to be sort of like this perfect person academically and socially and interpersonally, and that gets her to be sort of detached from the actual realities as they lie. Whereas, on a similar note, like we totally understand why Helga resents Olga, right? And how Helga can sort of simultaneously understand that it's not really Olga's fault that she is the way she is because it's a result of the way that her parents have always treated the two of them, but also can't help but resent Olga for the things that she is subjecting Helga to because of the nature of their relationship. And ultimately, we end up with an episode like this that just sort of depicts the way that, like, unfortunately, sometimes because familial relationships are so close and so fraught, they necessarily become messier and more complicated than they might otherwise be, right? It's like you get the feeling that like Olga really does want to have this idyllic relationship with Helga. And to a certain extent, Helga, I think, wishes that she could have that sort of relationship with Olga, but that's just not the way it is because of the limitations of both of their personalities. And so we end up with this very descriptive, very non-judgmental portrayal of two people who are in a relationship that necessitates distance, even if that distance is somewhat painful for the both of them. And even more to the point, sort of points out both of their fundamental inadequacies, just because of the fact that they have had this common experience with one another, right? And I think that it's just like, that is like a literary depiction of the complications of the family unit, right? In a way that is very profound and that works super well, especially because, again, like, they've already laid the groundwork. And so, like, when we end up with Olga with the Inuit children up in Alaska, we understand that, like, this is not meant to be an unambiguous ending. This is meant to be something that is kind of sad, kind of unideal, but it's something that is very important for Helga's development. And sometimes doing the right thing for your sibling or doing the right thing for your family means doing something that you would rather not do, right? And that is how the inequality in this episode is finally resolved. And it is sort of sad, right? But that's sort of the way families often work. And I just think that, like, I think all of the Helga episodes become this very much more nuanced and profound meditation on human development and families and sort of like struggling with your own personal senses of inadequacy. But like, I think that the episodes that deal with Helga's family life in particular become very rich that way. You can sort of see why there was that whole idea that they were going to make Helga's family life into a show of its own, right? Like, it really has legs for that. And I think we see that in episodes like this.
Yeah, I mean, and especially because the first sort of beats we get with, I mean, we're talking a lot about the two sisters in the foreground here. The first, or I guess one of the first beats we get is, and this isn't the first time that we see this in the show, but like Big Bob and Miriam being sort of nonplussed by Olga's like earnestness, her like the dynamic and energy that she's bringing, like her in the car and just Big Bob kind of rolling his eyes. And just like the first sort of notes we get are that Olga's trajectory has like she's, you know, her and her family are, again, I'll use Emily's phrase again, passing ships. Like they're just like their trajectories are taking themselves kind of necessarily apart from each other. And Olga doesn't quite realize that because of, you know, as it's been said, just because of who she is as a character and as a person. And, you know, those sort of initial notes and the rest of this episode really help solidify Olga's character as a tragic one. And her arc is kind of a tragic one too. It is a bummer, like, especially the final notes. I mean, the Casablanca homage is like textually, I think pretty funny, but I think about this episode. This is when I think about later episodes in the series. There are few and fewer of them that I do more actively think about. But I think back on this one, especially those final notes every so often. But getting to where this episode goes, you know, the episode again leans into, you know, Olga's, you know, she's on her own journey. The episode is nodding at the previous attempts that these sisters have had at like trying to reconcile, and like they don't necessarily stick. Olga's is, you know, she's a cyclical person. She has this cycle where she's, you know, as Harry, you said, you know, her need to be a perfectionist and like top of her class. She's, you know, incidentally very like self-centered and has a definitive ego, and like she's not seeing the things that she needs to. She knows what to say to like soothe her sister, but she's not actually listening and paying attention. And so, of course, goes without saying by this point that Helga's feelings are extremely valid because she's communicating her needs and Olga is just not listening. She's never going to get it. And Helga utilizes the ploys that she's pulled in previous episodes. Like Emily said, the episode with the nanny, other episodes as well, where like people need to be taught a lesson and we're going to do those in sort of cartoonish, you know, like pranky ways. And those don't really stick. So of course, Helga needs to pull something drastic, but like well-intended to communicate that like a change needs to happen. And this episode ends with Olga, you know, she's left feeling cold and confused and sad. And like the final notes of the episode, you know, there's maybe a glimmer of hope as Helga signs her name, Love Helga. And so, you know, that's, you know, that I admittedly don't remember a ton of the trajectory with these two sisters following this, but you know, this being an episode where we're contending with family that, or rather the families that we don't choose, you know, they didn't choose to be sisters. This isn't the, you know, thinking about the Thanksgiving episode, there are other episodes as well, you know, you could argue the border episodes are kind of in this vein as well, but I love this episode as an inclusion in that saga, and also of course as another episode and a very important and well warranted episode in, you know, the trials of these sisters. It's and I mean, I agree with both of you, kind of what both of you have brought forth. Harry used the term brave. I think that's fair, like brave for a show like this, kind of like a weird big swing to, you know, make the show to make its audience feel this way, but also again cautiously optimistic as well at the same time.
Man, just the more we're talking about it, the more I love this episode. And I'm thinking more and more about how great a job the show writers have done with the characters, all of the Pataki characters especially. But thinking through Olga's character in particular, like, so Helga even points it out. She's talking to Phoebe in the classroom. She's going, you know, Olga's so touchy-feely. It really gives me the creeps. It's like that emotional side of Olga gives her the heebie-jeebies, and Helga is such a person that, you know, is a tough outer shell around her and is a bully at school and bullies the love of her life and everything like that. But so this is like two huge differences in their personality that are just big clashes, especially as sisters. And I just think that this episode too is doing a really good job of like playing into those exaggerated features of both of them and showing like it's okay that they aren't alike. It's okay that they have these huge differences. And also with Olga being like a perfectionist or having those tendencies, so she even wants this sibling relationship to be quote unquote perfect. And she's like striving to achieve the relationship with Helga that she wants that she thinks is the most idyllic form of a sister or sibling relationship, as if it's, you know, a test score or, you know, something to achieve in her career. And it's just not how it works in real life. You have these differences between each other. You have all of these power dynamics in the family that are like, I mean, with Helga being more of the scapegoat of Big Bob and Olga being the clear golden child of his, like you have this huge, huge power differential and age gap and everything between them. So the show is just doing such a fantastic job of like validating that those differences are totally fine, normal and good and okay, even if it's really, really hard and makes things complex and makes things difficult. And maybe both of you even want this perfect relationship or you both want to reach a better place, but you have to get there in a way that makes sense for both of you. And yeah, I'm so impressed with this episode and I could keep going on and on, but I'm curious to hear what Harry's has to say right now.
God, Emily. I mean, I think you basically just took everything out of my mouth, right? I think that like in particular, the fact that like you said, that just those inequalities exist and that they do inform things, and that even if Olga has the best of intentions, the fact that she ignores or doesn't see those inequalities that's a flaw of hers, right? Or that's something that she has to like deal with, because just because she doesn't see them, it's not incumbent upon Helga to overcome those inequalities. And sort of, there's a screaming child outside my apartment, so sorry. I don't think she's in any actual danger. I think that she's just sort of like having a temper tantrum. If she was an actual...
Yeah, it sounds like Olga being told that her sister doesn't want to be around her any longer.
Yeah, no, right? Apologies for that. I've got my windows open because summer's almost over and I want to make the most of it, but sometimes it, you know. Anyway, yeah, I think that, like, Emily, what you just said about just the fact that, like, I think that telling this story from Helga's perspective is so – that's what I meant by brave, right, is the fact that, like, we don't see this – from the perspective of the privileged person who has the sort of like privilege not to see the ways that fundamental inequalities have driven this distance in their relationships. But we see this from the victim, so to speak, side, right? Helga's the person who's like, I would love Olga if we could have the sort of idyllic relationship that you suggest is possible. But you're not the person who's here, right? You're not with our parents. You don't actually understand the way that they see us as different, and therefore how I've had to sort of adapt my personality my entire life to that inequality. And ultimately, we end up in this place where, like, Helga says, no, we can't have the idyllic relationship that you think that we should have, because ultimately that would not be equitable for me. It would be something that is only for you and that actually harms me at this point in our relationship. And what we have to do instead is we have to acknowledge our fundamental differences and where those differences come from. And we have to have some distance from one another as a result. And that will lead to a less sort of like, honestly, stereotypically, children's show ending where everything is resolved and everyone's happy, right? Like, this show has the courage to say that's not always how it works. And that's okay, right? Because that is ultimately what is best for everyone who's involved. And in fact, those sort of like faux idyllic endings where everyone is quote unquote happy and the privileged person gets everything they want, those are actually not equitable to the person who was suffering in the first place, right? In this case, Helga. It's like if Olga had gotten everything she wanted, even if Helga could have swallowed that, it wouldn't have been what was best for her. And so I think that like this is like a really like I said, brave and just a subversive almost take on an episode like this for a children's show, where it's like, no, we're not going to give you the easy way out, the easy feelings where everything is resolved and everything is okay, because that's not what reality looks like, especially where families are concerned, right? Like sometimes you are just going to have complicated relationships with your family members, and there is nothing you can do about that. And in fact, acknowledging those complicated relationships is the right way to proceed as a person, instead of ignoring them, instead of overlooking them in favor of trying to affect these idyllic endings that don't actually really serve anything. And so like we end up in this place that is much more about emotional and personal honesty than it is about sort of like ending up in a place where everyone's happy. And I think that that is just so realistic and so important for kids to learn about themselves, right? Because it's like kids watching the show might end up being like, you know, maybe I am a Helga, right? Where like there is something wrong and I need to address that it's wrong and we need to take steps to improve it, rather than ignoring that anything is wrong and going about it the way that the people who haven't been aggrieved would like it to go, right? And it's like in terms of like equitability and like the redistribution of justice, like I think that that's a really important point to end on and a really hard point to manage, especially, I mean, for any media, I think, but especially for a children's show.
Yeah, Hey Arnold is so, so good at portraying this dysfunctional family with the Pataki's, and each character within the Pataki family, Big Bob, Miriam, Olga, and Helga, they all have such clearly defined personalities too. They have like very, it's like very strong individualistic characteristics that you see from episode to episode that carry. But the thing that they struggle with time and time again in their episodes are just boundaries between each other and between, you know, Helga and Arnold. I mean, she stalks him, for God's sakes. Just all of that is such a huge part of the show. And I think it's, I don't know, it's saying a lot for a kid's show, which is to Harry's point. Just like not a lot of kids' shows would go there. And this one really does. And it's great representation, I think, for any kid who's feeling maybe like a Pataki at times. I also wanted to shout out again the ending, because I think the more I'm thinking about it too, the more I'm drawing the parallels to from this episode to Helga and the Nanny. Because at the very end, when in this episode, when Olga and then Helga are writing back and forth to each other on the postcards, the way they wrap that up in Helga and the Nanny is just the nanny Inga, who Helga successfully eventually backstabs and gets her deported. She writes to Helga, and Helga's just kind of sitting on her bed and reads it and like realizes like she maybe flubbed there and she maybe did something bad. But it's not like a dialogue. But here, it sort of feels like a continuation of that thread where Helga writes back and gets to have like the closure of what is happening between her and her sister and what the best like course of action for them means with the distance that they have now set for themselves.
For sure. Hey, very thankful for that dialogue, just as I'm thankful for this one. And I'm also thankful for setting boundaries as an example, the confines of this episode. And with that, I'll open up the floor to y'all. Any other shout outs, threads we didn't get to? Empty those brains of yours so that it can be captured on air for generations to appreciate. Anything y'all got is free game.
I mean, I just really love Emily's point there, right? Like, I think that the fact that this episode still finds a way to get back to the Hey Arnold optimism of the kids are all right, so to speak, right? Where it's like, I think it's exactly what you said, Emily, and it's the most realistic possible manifestation of that, right? It's like, these girls are not going to be able to overcome the dysfunction and inequalities imposed by their family lives and their histories. But what they might be able to do ultimately is talk about those things, right? And sort of like arrive at a shared understanding of their unique perspectives and how that will, how that has affected both of them and how they can work together to sort of overcome that as they grow and mature towards sort of a mutual understanding. I think that that's just such a really brilliant point, right? Because like, sad as it may be to admit, and I think that this show does say like, it is a little bit sad, but it's also true. That is like the best we can hope for, right? It's like when it comes to dysfunctional families, which again, to your point, Emily, like most families are, the best we can do is to sort of understand the damage and move forward from it, right? Which is, I think, the very early parts that this is coming to conclude with, right? And I think that that's such a, again, just like such a brave place for a show to get, to just refuse to take any sort of like, to make it any easier than that, but to make it feel, that optimism to feel so earned makes it feel so much more true, I guess, right? And so like this ends up being a really triumphant episode of Hey Arnold while remaining a very realistic and a very grounded episode of Hey Arnold. And I think that walking that tightrope is something that this show does so well, and I think is something that is so almost definitive about this show. And so I really like that characterization of it.
Yeah, I guess I'd say shout out to Hey Arnold and the crew on this one. Really, really good episode. I love the visuals, especially too, apart from everything else we've said. But I'll just do one more shout out for this another sound effect, which is Helga hitting her head on the desk, which then quickly transitions to Helga hitting her head on a tree at the park. Classic cartoon stuff there.
I would say shout out to the very season 4 aspect that the only role that Arnold has in this episode is sort of like unambiguously giving Helga advice that she then like actually acts upon. I think I noted like at the time, like, wow, what a great development that is, right? But it's like all of a sudden, like we're having an episode that's so serious that all of the sort of like performance and the dance between Arnold and Helga falls away. And Arnold is just like, it just sounds to me like you need to talk to Olga about this. And Helga's just like, yeah, I guess you're right. I'll do that. Right. It's like, wow. Like, look at the maturity that happened. Well, we weren't even looking for it. I loved that aspect of this episode as well.
Funnily enough, the maturity that we weren't even looking for is an alternate name for this podcast. And we appreciate y'all tuning in. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids. Hey Arnold podcast. That's what we're actually called. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mackin. You can find me on Twitter at Shitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Sui. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Sui.
And by the way, mooning is funny. Just don't make an ass of yourself.